The Book of Daniel, number 141, unveiling the prophetic significance of the papacy's return and the eighth president, key takeaways. This article delves deep into the prophetic landscape, examining the historical and biblical context surrounding the resurgence of the papacy and the rise of the eighth president, both pivotal events in eschatological narratives. Drawing parallels between ancient prophecies and contemporary political developments, the text explores the symbolic significance of Mount Carmel, Herod's birthday, and the impending Sunday law in the United States. Through meticulous analysis of biblical passages and historical insights, the article elucidates the intricate tapestry of prophetic fulfillment, shedding light on the emergence of the eighth head, rooted in the legacy of the seven heads, and the formation of the image of the papal beast. It navigates through the realms of spiritual symbolism, geopolitical realities, and religious allegiances to unravel the impending crisis and its implications for modern society. Historical context of Mount Carmel and Herod's birthday. Examining the sacred significance of Mount Carmel and Herod's birthday as symbolic illustrations foreshadowing the imminent Sunday law in the United States. Drawing parallels between ancient Israel's glorious land and the spiritual significance of the United States as the modern counterpart. Analyzing biblical passages and historical accounts to unravel the prophetic implications embedded in these narratives. Interpretation of Daniel 11 verse 41. Deciphering the prophetic symbolism of Daniel 11 verse 41, particularly the significance of the counterfeit king of the north entering the glorious land. Exploring the concept of the many countries being overthrown at the advent of the Sunday law, representing those accountable to the light of the Sabbath. Understanding the role of Laodicean Adventism and its fate in the impending crisis, symbolized by rejection and spewing out of the mouth of the Lord. Symbolism of escape and separation. Delving into the Hebrew word translated as escape in Daniel 11:41, symbolizing liberation from the grasp of oppressive powers. Exploring the dichotomy between those representing the image of the beast and those embodying the image of Christ. Analyzing the significance of separation into two distinct classes as a crucial aspect of end-time prophecy. The dynamics of church-state union. Unraveling the intricate relationship between church and state, epitomized by the combination of tower, church, and city-state in prophetic symbolism. Exposing the impending union between Protestant churches, secular power, and Roman apostasy, leading to a national apostasy and eventual ruin. Examining the implications of this union in the context of the impending Sunday law and its enforcement. Prophetic symbolism of beast and woman. Investigating the symbolic representation of the beast and the woman in Revelation 17, unveiling the dynamics of church-state relations and their implications. Deciphering the prophetic significance of the eighth head, rooted in the legacy of the seven heads, and its manifestation in contemporary political leadership. Analyzing the implications of the formation of the image of the beast within the United States, heralding a dictatorship characterized by apostate ideologies. Implications for modern society. Reflecting on the broader implications of these prophetic interpretations for contemporary society, particularly in terms of religious freedoms, geopolitical alliances, and societal values. Discussing the urgency of spiritual discernment and preparedness in navigating the impending crisis and aligning with the image of Christ amidst turbulent times. Proposing avenues for further study and reflection, emphasizing the importance of engaging with prophetic narratives to discern the signs of the times and align with divine purposes. We are currently looking very closely at the prophetic characteristics of the history where the papacy returns to the throne of the earth as the eighth head, that is of the seven heads. We are doing so in order to carefully identify the prophetic characteristics of the history when the eighth president, that is of the seven presidents, fulfills the formation of the image of the papal beast. We have begun our considerations of these truths with Mount Carmel and Herod's birthday. Both sacred illustrations represent the soon coming Sunday law in the United States, which is also represented in verse 41 of Daniel chapter 11. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon, Daniel 11:41. The counterfeit king of the north enters the glorious land in the verse. The glorious land in the history of ancient Israel was the land of Judah, and it was represented as a land flowing with milk and honey, and for this reason, among others, it was glorious. It was glorious because Christ chose its capital city, Jerusalem, as the place of his temple and the city where he chose to place his name. Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. 2 Chronicles 6:5-6. The literal land of Judah was the glorious land for literal ancient Israel. And the United States is the spiritual land of Judah, the glorious land for spiritual modern Israel. When the land which the Lord provided as an asylum for his people, that they might worship him according to the dictates of their own consciences, the land over which for long years the shield of omnipotence has been spread, the land which God has favored by making it the depository of the pure religion of Christ. When that land shall, through its legislators, abjure the principles of Protestantism and give countenance to Romish apostasy in tampering with God's law, it is then that the final work of the man of sin will be revealed. Signs of the Times, June 12, 1893. After the counterfeit king of the north conquered the king of the south, the former Soviet Union, in verse 40, in 1989, it then conquers the glorious land, the United States. In verse 41, the word countries is a supplied word, and is not fully accurate, for at the Sunday law, the many who are overthrown are a class of people who knew the distinction between the seventh-day Sabbath and the day of the sun, before the Sunday law arrived. The change of the Sabbath is the sign or mark of the authority of the Roman Church. Those who, understanding the claims of the fourth commandment, choose to observe the false Sabbath in the place of the true, are thereby paying homage to that power by which alone it is commanded. The mark of the beast is the papal Sabbath, which has been accepted by the world in the place of the day of God's appointment. But the time to receive the mark of the beast, as designated in prophecy, has not yet come. The testing time has not yet come. There are true Christians in every church, not accepting the Roman Catholic Communion. None are condemned until they have had the light and have seen the obligation of the fourth commandment. But when the decree shall go forth enforcing the counterfeit Sabbath, and when the loud cry of the third angel shall warn men against the worship of the beast and his image, the line will be clearly drawn between the false and the true. Then those who still continue in transgression will receive the mark of the beast in their foreheads or in their hands. With rapid steps we are approaching this period. When Protestant churches shall unite with the secular power to sustain a false religion, for opposing which their ancestors endured the fiercest persecution, then will the papal Sabbath be enforced by the combined authority of church and state. There will be a national apostasy, which will end only in national ruin. Bible Training School, February 2, 1913. The class of many who are overthrown at the soon coming Sunday law are those who will be held accountable to the light of the Sabbath, which is the light that is given for that time, which is a turning point and a crisis in the history of both the church and the nations. That class is the church of Laodicean Adventism that has reached their conclusion of wandering in the wilderness of rebellion. It is there that they are spewed out of the mouth of the Lord for eternity. Laodicean Adventism are those who were called unto the light of the third angel, either at the first Kadesh in the history of 1844 unto 1863, or at the second Kadesh in the history of 2001 unto the Sunday law. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:12-14. The voice of the third angel, either in 1844 or 2001, was a call unto the wedding. The many that are overthrown at the Sunday law are the many who who rejected the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness, and instead become part of the marriage party of the 10 kings unto the whore of Rome. For that marriage, a person can keep their own garments, for all they need to take away their reproach is to be called by the surname of the whore that reigns over the 10 kings. And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of 1 man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Isaiah 4:1. They failed the first dietary test, for they chose to eat their own bread instead of the bread of heaven. They failed the second test, where they were to glorify God by manifesting his character, but they chose instead to wear their own garments. They failed the third litmus test, for they manifested the name, character of the beast, for they chose to reject the name, character of Christ. The purpose that Nimrod built a city, state, and a tower, church, in the first mention of Babylon, was that he might make himself a name. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Genesis 11:4. Name is a symbol of character, and the prophetic character of the eighth beast, that is of the 7, is the twofold nature of the combination of church, tower, and state, city. In the crisis of the last days, men will separate into 2 classes. There can be only 2 classes. Each party is distinctly stamped, either with the seal of the living God or with the mark of the beast or his image. Each son and daughter of Adam chooses either Christ or Barabbas as his general. And all who place themselves on the side of the disloyal are standing under Satan's black banner and are charged with rejecting and despitefully using Christ. They are charged with deliberately crucifying the Lord of life and glory. Review and Herald, January 30th, 1900. 1 class will represent the image of the beast, and the other class will represent the image of Christ. 1 will be wearing Christ's wedding garment, and the other class will be wearing their own apparel. 1 class will be eating the heavenly diet, and the other will be eating their own bread. The class that eats their own bread and retains their own apparel represent the many, who were called by the voice of the third angel, and they are the many who are overthrown at the soon coming Sunday law. Their attempt to redeem their lost condition, when their characters are manifested at the crisis of the Sunday law, is the false hope that if they can accept the name of the whore of Rome, that doing so will take away their reproach. At that time, the few who are chosen are lifted up as the ensign of the 144,000, and there is then another group in verse 41 who then escape the hand of the counterfeit king of the north. The Hebrew word translated as escape in verse 41 means to escape as if by slipperiness, and the definition conveys the idea of holding a bar of soap in the water, and due to the slipperiness of the soap, it slips out of your hand. The primary element of the definition of the word, when it is employed in the Hebrew language, is that whatever it is that escapes is something that had, prior to the escape, been under the control of whatever it escapes from. In verse 41, the threefold union of the dragon, the beast, and false prophet is accomplished. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. The Great Controversy, 588. When the United States joins hands with the United Nations and the papacy at the Sunday law, there is a group of people who have previously been in the hand of the papacy, who then escape from the counterfeit king of the north's hand. Those people were previously held in the grasp of the papal power. Those people are represented at Herod's birthday party by John the Baptist, who was then in the captivity of the Roman dungeons, awaiting death or deliverance. The class of people who escaped the captivity of the papacy at the Sunday law are represented by 3 tribes, and thus symbolize the threefold makeup of modern Babylon. At that very time, the second voice of Revelation chapter 18 calls those people to flee out of Babylon, that they not partake of her judgments that are then to begin. That second voice is the voice of Christ, but it represents the voice of the 144,000 who are then proclaiming the third angel's message with a loud voice. When those who escape the hand, a symbol of submission, they escape the hand of the counterfeit king of the north, and they then find the hand of the true king of the north. At Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal were slain, and as the masculine false deity, they represent the state, and the prophets of Ashtaroth represent the church. Elijah slew the prophets of Baal, thus identifying the end of the sixth kingdom, though the religion of apostate Protestantism, as represented by Salome, was still represented. Salome, apostate Protestantism, as Salome seduces Herod, and the ten kings agree to enter into a church and state alliance with the eighth head. That was of the seven heads. Salome is the one who the incestuous Herod lusts after in his heart. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28. Herod's incestuous lust in his heart joined their flesh together in his heart, and he therefore became one with Salome. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24. At Herod's birthday party, Herod and Salome became united, and Herod, who was typified by Ahab, is the head of the ten kings of the northern kingdom. At the soon coming Sunday law, the sixth kingdom of the earth beast ends when the horns that had become one horn, representing the combination of the horns of church and state, the image of the beast, is slain by Elijah. Salome then seduces Herod, becomes one with him, and convinces him to give half his kingdom, the worldwide state, to her mother, the worldwide church. Salome has then taken control of Ahab and his ten tribes, for the ten kings all agree with each other. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Revelation 17:12-13. The beast they give their power and strength unto is the beast that the whore rides upon. The beast represents the character of the image, which is the combination of church and state, with the woman, church, in control of the relationship, for it is a Latin marriage, where the surname is the name of the wife, and where the woman rules over the man, in rebellion against the true marriage relationship. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Genesis 3:16. The ten kings are of one mind and one heart. Revelation 17:13-14 quoted, these have one mind. There will be a universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Thus is manifested the same arbitrary, oppressive power against religious liberty, freedom to worship God according to the dictates of conscience, as was manifested by the papacy, when in the past it persecuted those who dared to refuse to conform with the religious rites and ceremonies of Romanism. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be united, in opposition to God's people, all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point at issue. For in the Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth. The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, 983. The ten kings, whose leader is Ahab, or Herod, have been seduced by Salome, the daughter of Herodias. The United Nations, who at the Sunday law is seduced by Salome, the false religion of apostate Protestantism, and who was formerly the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy, takes control of the kingdom of ten kings, who all agree to give half their kingdom unto the religion of Catholicism. They make this unanimous decision, for all the kings were seduced by Salome's seductive dance. They agree to place their united strength into the work of killing those represented by John the Baptist. The beast, the United Nations, is governed by a premier king, the daughter of Jezebel. Jezebel had directed her daughter to initiate the adulterous and incestuous relationship with Herod and the other kings, for she is the mother of harlots. She is the pimp of her own daughter. Herod, Ahab, and the United Nations were seduced by the false prophet, who is the United States. The United States ceases to be the sixth kingdom when the prophets of Baal were slain, and the prophets of Ashtaroth, Salome, immediately become the governing power of the Seventh Kingdom, as it duplicates in the world what it just accomplished in the United States. The beast is the kings who are in a relationship with the whore's daughter, and the whore is the woman that rules over the beast. Jesus illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. Just as Revelation chapter 17's illustration of eight kingdoms unsealed the eight kingdoms of Daniel chapter 2, the beast and the woman that rides upon the beast unseals another prophetic truth that is based upon the first representing the last. Revelation chapter 17 is the last reference to the kingdoms of Bible prophecy, and therefore demands that Daniel chapter 2, which is the first reference to the kingdoms of Bible prophecy, of prophetic necessity must also represent eight kingdoms, of which the eighth kingdom was of the seven. So too, the judgment of the woman and the beast she rides upon in chapter 17 must be represented in the first judgment of the whore in 1798. The angel informed John at the opening of chapter 17 that he was going to show the judgment of the great whore and of the beast she rides upon. The first time the whore was judged has been correctly understood as 1798, when the papacy received its deadly wound and the time of the end arrived. Yet, when a time of the end is represented in prophetic history, there are always two waymarks symbolized by people. The birth of Aaron and his brother Moses was the time of the end in that history. Those two waymarks typified the birth of John the Baptist and 6 months later his cousin Jesus, thus marking the time of the end for that history. At the end of the 70-year captivity, which typifies the time of the end in 1798, Darius and his nephew Cyrus are the two waymarks of the time of the end. Together, they typify Reagan and Bush the first, in the time of the end of 1989. 1798, which was the time of the end when the Book of Daniel was unsealed in Millerite history, identified the prophetic death of the political element of the beast of Catholicism. Napoleon's general Berthier walked right into the Vatican, arrested the Pope, and ended the political authority of the beast of Catholicism. A year later, in 1799, the woman who had ridden that beast through the centuries, represented by the Pope, died in captivity. The judgment of the whore includes the judgment upon the beast she employed to govern the nations. Revelation chapter 17 identifies both the judgment of the beast and also the whore who rules over and rides upon the beast. The world is filled with storm and war and variance, yet under one head, the papal power, the people will unite to oppose God in the person of his witnesses. Testimonies, volume 7, 182. The eighth head, that is of the seven, is the papal power that reigns over the beast that is made up of 10 kings who are governed by the daughter of the whore who rides upon the beast. The elements of the eighth kingdom, that is of the seven, must be seen in the eighth and last president, who is of the seven presidents, when the image of the beast is formed within the United States. The combination of the apostate horns of republicanism and Protestantism must have a head that rules over the image of the beast, and that ruler will be a dictator extraordinaire. We will continue this study in the next article. A song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assur also is joined with them, they have holpen the children of Lot, Selah. Psalms 83, 1-8.